I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues in this paper, Dr. Berkey, Edwin Fiskus, Lee Shin, and Sujin Hu. We've been working on for a number of years on the interactions between elevated CO2 and ozone on crop physiology, yield, and growth. As you all know, CO2 levels in the atmosphere are steadily increasing and expected to continue during this century. While elevated CO2 stimulates the photosynthesis and growth of many C3 plants, in contrast, ozone, which co-occurs in the atmosphere, is toxic to all living things. This graph on the right, and is antagonistic to CO2 effects. This figure on the right shows in areas in yellow, orange, and red, regions of this country where crops such as cotton, peanut, soybean, and wheat, among other specialty crops, are at risk for yield reductions in the range of 5 to 15% due to current ambient ozone levels. Trends in tropospheric ozone over this century are difficult to predict. Levels have been fairly steady over North America and Europe recently, but are increasing in developing countries and expected to increase generally in this century. In addition to being toxic, ozone is an important greenhouse gas and has contributed to radiative forcing and climate change by about 0.35 watts per square meter during the industrial period in this country. Results of our previous research with elevated CO2 and ozone soybean experiments show that in general that CO2 stimulates photosynthesis, biomass production, and yield, and decreases stomatal conductance. Ozone has the opposite effect, suppresses photosynthesis, biomass production, and yield. And in combination, CO2 tends to ameliorate the ozone effect by countering the effects on photosynthesis, biomass, and yield. We believe this is due in large part to effects of CO2 on reducing stomatal conductance and hence ozone flux. This graph shows the relationship between yield on the ordinate in grams per plant versus midday ozone flux, which is calculated from measurements of upper canopy stomatal conductance and commensurate concurrent ozone concentrations. For Essex soybean, over experiments we've conducted for the past 10 years, these are the means from each experiment. These are the controls right here, which is clean air and ambient CO2. The spots in green are elevated carbon dioxide and clean air. When you can see that the reduction in stomatal conductance reduces ozone flux. These shown in red is elevated ozone and ambient CO2, in which you see that yield is reduced by ozone. Midday ozone flux is approximately exceeding 25 nanomoles per meter squared per second. And here's the combined effect of elevated ozone and twice ambient CO2, which reduces the ozone flux and restores the yield to control levels. My interest has since grown to the effects of interactive effects of the plants on with the soils. It seems reasonable that these increases and decreases in biomass inputs to the soil and plant constituents are going to impact the plant-soil interactions, and we want to do this in order to understand the dynamics of the system better. So therefore, the objectives of this experiment are to determine the consequences of changes in atmospheric CO2 and ozone on productivity and nutrient cycling, and soil quality in a no-till soybean wheat cropping system. This is a two-crop soybean wheat system. It is common in the southeastern United States, and this experimental combination is unique. Briefly then, the treatments involve ambient CO2 and elevated CO2 at a level of 550 micromoles per meter, micromoles per mole, which is the concentration projected to be in the atmosphere at the year 2050. These treatments are administered in combination with ozone and charcoal filtered air, which is clean air, about 20 nanomoles of ozone per mole, in combination with CF air plus 1.4 times ambient ozone, which is about 68 nanomoles per mole for the soybean experiments in the summer and 50 nanomoles per mole during the winter wheat. This is a five-year experiment started in 2005. There are four replicates per chamber, and we're halfway through it now. And I'd like to share the results with you so far. In terms of yield, seed yield in grams per meter squared is shown on the ordinate here. Soybean, and these are the treatments on the abscissa. This is charcoal filtered air and ambient CO2, so this is the control. This is the clean air and elevated CO2, and there was an 11% increase in seed yield in this treatment. This is ambient CO2 and ozone. There was a suppression of yield by 27%. And in the combined treatments, there was a partial amelioration of the ozone effect, showing that it was returned to control levels, but it was not stimulated. So there was a significant interaction here. This is cultivar CL54. It's a Roundup Ready variety. In 2006, they took CL54RR off the market, so we replaced it with Asgrow 5605RR. And these show the effects of the elevated CO2 on yield. In this case, there was a proportionally higher impact on yield. Effects of ozone were smaller, and in combination, CO2 completely ameliorated the ozone effect. We think some of the reasons for the yield differences between years are due to, one, there are different cultivars, which is known. There's a great deal of range and sensitivity to ozone and CO2 among cultivars. In 2006, there was less rain in irrigation, 40% less than in 2005, which we think generally suppressed yield across all the treatments. The lower ozone effect was related to a lower ambient ozone concentration in 2006 compared to 2005. And then, of course, there are influence of environmental variables. They did get even though these ozone concentrations were lower, there was a nearly significant effect on yield. And these concentrations are only 14% higher than our average ambient ozone levels right now. The effects of ozone on yield are mediated entirely through a decrease in mass per seed. There's no effect of CO2 on mass per seed, but it is suppressed in the by ozone in the ambient and elevated CO2 in both cultivars. The stimulation in yield by elevated CO2 is mediated through an increase in seed number, shown here and here. There was no impact of ozone on number of seeds, except in 2006, we sort of see this curious increase in seed number, which I've yet to have a suitable explanation for. In terms of wheat yield, there was a stimulation of 25% in yield at elevated CO2 and clean air, and nearly the same in the presence of a lower ambient ozone concentrations than we see in the summertime. So that's why there we expect there's no effect of the ozone at ambient CO2. There was a stimulation in yield in just the clean air treatment in combination with elevated CO2 in 2007. This was a very dry spring, in which we think is partly responsible for the large difference in yields between those 2 years. In regards to seed quality, for soybean, the data we have are from 2005. There was no significant effect of CO2 on seed quality, whereas the added ozone caused a 3% decrease in percent oil and a 7% decrease in percent oleic acid content. Oleic acid is an omega-9 unsaturated fatty acid and is the main constituent of olive oil. So both these changes are undesirable for the soybean seeds. In the wheat, elevated CO2 caused a 7 to 11% decrease in percent flour protein and a 6% increase in mass per seed. There was no effect of ozone on seed yield quality of the wheat. Residue biomass was increased along with yield by elevated CO2 in clean air. It was suppressed by ozone at ambient CO2, and the effect of the detrimental effect of ozone was partially alleviated by elevated CO2 in the combined treatments here. We saw a similar pattern in 2006 with a different cultivar, although yields were much lower. Weed residue biomass was increased only significantly by elevated CO2 in clean air in 2006 and in the combined treatments in 2007, and there was no effect of ozone on residue biomass. As you might expect, litter, this is standing litter in the year 2000, in June of 2007. The litter is increased by 34% in the elevated CO2 clean air treatment. Litter is amount is reduced by 31% at ozone and ambient CO2, and also in the combined ozone CO2 treatments. This is expressed in grams of carbon per meter squared among the treatments. So this follows with the effects on residue production. However, when you look at the fraction remaining of litter carbon, this is the ratio of remaining litter to total residue biomass input. They are about the same in the elevated CO2 and control treatments, so there's no impact on decomposition here, but we do see an increased rate of decomposition in the ozone treatments, which I found surprising. Suggesting that the decomposition is occurring more rapidly in the ozone treatments. I suspect this has to do with better contact of the litter with the soil surface, since there's a lesser amount of the litter. Soil respiration rates were stimulated by CO2 in clean air and in the presence of ozone by 34% during the growing season this summer. This is in situ soil respiration, measured with a Licor 6400 soil respiration chamber. And as you can see, the rates increased strongly during the plant growth period and fell off as the plants died. So we attribute this stimulation in soil respiration probably mostly due to effects of stimulated plant growth and root respiration. Also, there's been no effect on soil microbial respiration as measured in the laboratory. So, again, these changes in CO2 in soil respiration are largely due to treatment effects on root production. Here was finally the effects of the treatments on soil delta 13 carbon and percent carbon. Effects of elevated CO2 are moving into the soil. This panel shows the coarse particulate organic matter, which is retained by a sieve of 250 microns at a depth of either 0 from 0 to 5 centimeters or from 5 to 10 centimeters in the gray bars. This is a smaller soil fraction that's retained by a sieve of 50 microns. You clearly see that the delta 13 carbon signature is decreasing in clean air CO2 treatment and in the combined ozone CO2 treatments in the coarse fraction and in the finer fraction here. However, there is no statistically significant effect of elevated CO2 on soil percent carbon yet. We're encouraged that the numbers are heading in the right direction, but at the moment we can not make any conclusion about that, except that they haven't changed. Our overall goal then is to construct a model of the effects of elevated CO2 on ozone and soil carbon dynamics by identifying the pools and fluxes of carbon through these various pools and compartments to get an idea of how these gases are affecting the whole plant ecosystem, cropping system, period. The major conclusions then of the talk are that ozone, elevated CO2 ameliorates the detrimental effects of ozone on crop yield and growth, but also that ozone will erode soybean yield and biomass gains at elevated CO2. Secondly, seed quality declines with elevated CO2 for wheat and with ozone in soybean. And lastly, carbon sequestration at elevated CO2, if it occurs, is likely to be suppressed by rising ozone concentration.